now listening to the Seventh Rounders.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Seventh Rounders are back. We did take a week hiatus, and we're recording later this week. So I'm sure the listeners were getting a bit worried. But John and Chad here. Listen, folks, simple as life happens. The boys have been busy the last 2 weeks. But we want to get something out to you guys this week just because we haven't talked any NFL draft. And that is 20 minutes from kick right now. So no, I guess, preview per se. But listen, John and I are going to kick it. We're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about, honestly, a true OG Seventh Rounders episode. And then we'll react live to a few picks. So we may be on 30 minutes. We may be on an hour. I have no idea. We're going to hang out, have fun. No responsibilities tonight. It's just boys talking.
Oh, no responsibilities. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be hot and heavy. Yes, the draft is here in the next 20 minutes. And to be honest with you, I don't need to preview that. You know, you guys are all looking at your own mocks. I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to the draft this year. I've been so unplugged, to be honest with you. I've been all in on MLB, been paying a little bit of attention to the NBA, NHL playoffs. We've seen some really good games over there. I do want to get you started, though, with a trivia question, Chad. I want to get your brain just immediately going. I'm going to throw one at you here, all right? Give me five of the top 10 active MLB players in career home runs. I'm looking for five, and I'm going to give you – you're going to get eight guesses to give me five.
Okay. I'll start with Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is number two. He has 378 career. Good guess. That's one.
Okay. Number two, and this one is just because I know he's on your fantasy team. Marcell Ozuna.
Marcell Ozuna is number 19. He has 245 career. He is not. That's a miss. So
that I got cute with that one.
You get three misses. That's one of them.
Okay. In career home runs. Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is on the list, number nine. He is 310 career. That's your second one. All right. Very good.
Oh, I thought I had to just get the guys in the top five. So that counts.
Yeah. Top 10. I said five of the top 10.
Okay. Is Pujols officially retired, or is
he's officially retired? Right? You do not want to guess him. Yeah.
Okay. Another guy that Miguel Cabrera isn't in the league right now, is he?
Nope. Retired. Being very nice here.
How about Freddie Freeman?
Freddie Freeman is number six, 322 career. That's three, with two misses left in your pocket. All right.
322 career for Freddie.
For Freddie.
I'm wondering Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is not. He is 13th, tied with Jose Abreu, 261 career. I mean, he is by far the least tenured to be as high up on the list as he is. But no, he is not. That's your second miss. You need to get two more right. You get one more miss.
Okay. All right. Andrew McCutchen.
Andrew McCutchen is number 10. He sneaks in 302 career home runs. He just moved into the top 10 this last week. He hit back-to-back games with a leadoff home run. He put himself one above Carlos Santana, who's 301. You would have not guessed him, so I don't feel bad about saying that. That is four.
Okay. All right, so the Judge range, it's just too young. So we got to go to some aged veterans. I have a name, but he had a couple 40 homer seasons. How about Anthony Rizzo?
Anthony Rizzo is not on the list. Yeah. I actually don't know. Where is Anthony Rizzo? Anthony Rizzo is 12th, just on the outside looking in, 298 career. If he was hitting the ball this year, maybe he'd be up there, but he's not. So that's your last miss. You need to get one right. It comes down to the eighth guess of eight. Will he do it? Or will he not?
Okay. How about Salvador Perez?
Oh, you are going to be kicking yourself for not thinking of a lot of these guys. No, Salvador Perez is 16th. Not a terrible guess. 252 career. You did not guess you got 9 and 10. Number 8, J.D. Martinez, 315 career. Number 7, Manny Machado, 317 career. You got number 6, Freddie Freeman. Nolan Arenado's 5th with 326 career bombs.
Be in there.
Paul Goldschmidt is 4th with 342 career. I cannot believe you didn't guess Paul Goldschmidt. I thought you were, when you were thinking of those guys, and are they retired, are they not, I thought you were going to pull Joey Votto out, but you did not. He is technically still an active player. He's 3rd with 356. You got Mike Trout, and the only active player with over 400 career home runs, Giancarlo, formerly Mike Stanton. He's 407. He's been injury plagued, but he has hit a lot of bombs when he's been healthy.
How many does Trout have?
378.
Okay.
Trout's 32.
Stanton can't, maybe Stanton was what, 2 or 3 more seasons than Trout? If Trout was 15, Stanton
Trout's
was what,
one
20,
more
12-ish?
Trout's one more season. That's your top 10. That's MLB. MLB has been exciting this year. I mean, there's a couple of teams. We'll start here, and then we're going to move to the playoffs. Yeah. We're going to escalate it from here. I mean, the White Sox are 3-22. They're historically bad. I mean, just frighteningly poor. Total dumpster fire out there in Chicago on the south side. We'll see what happens long term. The Yankees and the Orioles in the AL East have been fantastic. Yankees 17-8. Orioles are 16-8. Whole division is 500 or better. Boston's 14-12 with a really good starting pitching staff. Believe first in the league in ERA right now after no one thought they could do anything. But they're really banged up. Their bats are really banged up.
And
Toronto,
they have their, arguably their best arm there, who's out as well. The guy that broke out
Nick
last
Pivetta.
Year, drawn a blank. Pivetta, Nick Pivetta. But, I mean, Tanner Houck and some of those, Bayo and some of those young guys, I mean, they're finding ways to win games with their lineup.
Bayo just hit the IL. I mean, there's a lot of injury concerns there in Boston right now, but hopefully they get over it earlier in the year. Toronto, Tampa, 13-13.
Yeah. Toronto just, like, Vlad has not been good this year, and I'm at a point where this is, what, the third year in a row where Vlad has been very average, and Bo Bichette, I think, is a really good baseball player, but I don't think he's that top 10, top 15 type player that people thought after his rookie year. At least that's how I feel about him. And then the rotation, I mean, they have not had much luck outside of Gausman and then stretches of like Yusei Kikuchi. So Toronto's in a tough spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Gausman's been poor. He's got a 6 ERA this year. He's been really bad early on. Their best bat has been Justin Turner, which probably a lot of people didn't even know he was on the Blue Jays. You know,
who might be their second or third best bat is Rochester's own Ernie Clement, getting a lot of run.
Ernie Clement's got a lot of run, a 779 OPS for him right now. Dalton Varsho has been pretty good too. I mean, these guys are not, they're all, none of their big bats, they're Vlads, they're Bows, they're Springers are playing to their ceiling right now. So they actually have the 5th lowest run scored in the AL right now. So they've been bad, but there's plenty of season left and they're still 500. The Cleveland Guardians' biggest surprise so far have to be they're 18-7, leading the AL Central. The Royals 16-10, the Tigers 14-11, the Twins 11-13, and the White Sox are 3-22. This division isn't perceived to be very good. I think the Guardians and the Royals are kind of fun. I think the Tigers are pretty young. They can be a fun team, frisky. This is a very frisky division. I don't know if I take any of them seriously in the long run, but. These are some friskier teams. Minnesota's offense has been really bad, and like we were saying, Chicago's historically bad. So we'll see outside of the division what the records of the top two, top three teams are. But
do you think, I guess on the Cleveland front, because I think you just mentioned it. I think they have the best record in baseball, or one of the best.
Yeah.
Do you look at them as serious World Series contenders? I do not.
No.
I think it's a bad division, and they've just gotten off to a good start. I think that roster's still limited.
Yeah, no. I mean, they have scored 134 runs. Their rotation's been good. Without Shane Bieber, you know, him going down early in the season was really tough for them. They have a young – their team is young. Like, a lot of their best players are going to be guys that they're hoping to have for a while. So, I don't think they can win the World Series, but I think they can definitely win this division. No problem. Out West, been pretty underwhelming, like really poor, the AL West so far. Seattle's 13-12. They're pacing it. The defending World Series champion Texas Rangers are 13-13. The Angels are 10-15. Oakland is 9-16. Oakland is not in last. The Houston Astros of 8 straight ALCS are in the basement. They lost again today. They're 7-19. They look so bad. Their pitching particularly has been poor. Their bullpen is an absolute disaster. Verlander was on a pitch count today. He pitched a scoreless outing, but they pulled him after 4 or 5 innings. Bullpen gave up the lead. They lost to the Cubs, lost the series. I think they might have gotten swept. Might have won one. Could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Where are you at on the panic-o-meter on Houston?
I mean,
I'm not overly – I'm still 2, 3 out of 10. I think they're going to be a couple months from now. I think they're going to be in the thick of the wild card race.
Their offense has been competent. They're getting about 4 or so runs a game, even though they didn't really do that at all against the Cubs. In this, they did get swept. They scored 2, 3, and 1 run. There's some concerns there. I would say my panic meter is probably 6 with them. I mean, they're aging. They're getting a little bit older. They're banged up, and their bullpen's really bad. Until that bullpen's fixed, I'm not going to take them very seriously. I think they very well could miss the playoffs. I'm sure they're pretty juiced to miss the playoffs at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'd be worried if I was an Astros fan, but we'll see. I mean, there's still plenty of talent. Like I said, it's aging. Jose Abreu is probably going to DFA in the next month. I mean, he's just totally done, out of gas. Julio Rodriguez for Seattle, the division leader there. He's starting to heat up. Love to see it. First home run of the year. He's hitting like 480 in his last 10, 15 games. I think I've always been a little bullish on them since Julio got there. I think they get it done. I think they win the division. I think Texas was a nice little story last year, but I don't know.
I still lean Texas. I think you've got 2 young guys in Evan White and Wyatt Langford. I know this is more of a fantasy perspective, but was the talk of the spring, and hasn't done much, but he's hitting 256. That's not horrible. Those guys are only going to get better. Corey Seager, I believe, got banged up again, but he's going to start, you know, heating up. And in my opinion, I think Marcus Semien is, you know, one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. If Ronald Acuna didn't exist, I think Marcus Semien's the best leadoff hitter in baseball. And then Adolis Garcia, you know, career got started late, but he continues to hit for power and has a bunch of stolen bases. I think Texas is loaded. So I think it'll be close, but I still lean Texas.
Who is your AL MVP through 1 month? And Cy Young.
Let's put me on this. Do you want to go first? I got to think about this.
Yeah, my AL MVP to date is Gunnar Henderson. I mean, he's been fantastic. You should have seen that one coming. He's hitting 309, 20 runs, 8 homers, 20 ribs, 5 steals. He's doing a little bit of everything. His OPS is, I think, over 1,000. Let me get you an accurate OPS on him. 1,000. Young. Gonna have to go with Tarik Skubal. 3-0, 35 strikeouts, 182 ERA, and an 0.74 whip. He's just been phenomenal for the Detroit Tigers. So those are my picks for MVP and Cy Young there. Gunnar Henderson and Tariq Skubal. How about you, Chad?
That's, John, I got to be honest, that timing. So, you know, obviously this is a podcast, so folks may not have seen it, but my computer completely blacked out. So Clemens, I mean, went strong there. And as a reward, I'm going to let him go get water while I talk. So I think to be Gunnar Henderson makes sense. I can't argue against that. To be different, though, I'll go with Adolis Garcia. Just mentioned him a little while ago. I mean, 7 homers, right around 23, 24 RBIs. And, you know, he has 4 stolen bases early while hitting over 300. So I will go Adolis. Cy Young front. That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm going to go with, I think I agree with Connor. I think I agree with John. Tariq Skubal, I mean, just been fantastic. John, I hope you didn't hear that. I just called.
I did. I leave the frame for a second and I'm powers, dude. It's brutal.
But then I also, he's in the NL. We'll get to him. But yeah, I think at this point, Skubal has been the guy. But listen, shout out Logan Gilbert. A guy that's now, this is his 3rd or 4th year, and it's just been the model of consistency. You know, he's never going to blow you away with double-digit strikeout games. You know, he's never going to have that sub, you know, 0.9 whip, but he's just a really solid pitcher. And especially behind, who are the two of them?
Luis Castillo, George Kirby.
Castillo.
Good rotation in Seattle, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Logan Gilbert's been fantastic. Sub 2, he has a 1.87 ERA, 0.8 whip, 2-0 early on. He's been awesome. So I'll go with Logan Gilbert as my Cy Young
pick. I respect that. Just tap it in her. I'm a big Logan Gilbert fan. Shout out too, to Tanner Houck. He's been fantastic for Boston. It's a shame Shane Bieber got hurt. I think Shane Bieber was going to give it a run this year too. Joe Ryan's been good for Minnesota. Another just tap in, or Jose Berrios kind of having a little renaissance there out there in Toronto. Pitching's been ahead of it. We'll move to the NL real quick, and then we'll get off of baseball because we've been here for a little bit. Also, quick shout out to Salvador Perez. He is hitting 352 with 7 bombs, 25 RBIs. Definitely should be in the MVP conversation to date in the AL. In the NL, the East, it's a good division for the most part. Atlanta 17-6, no surprises there. Philadelphia 16-10. The Mets are 13-11 after an 0-5 start to the year, I think. Washington, a very frisky 10-14. They've kept a lot of games close. I've won a lot of run lines with Washington. Really enjoyed them. The Miami Marlins 6-20. Kind of like the White Sox, but not quite as bad. They are a bit of a dumpster fire. Any John, surprises Mitchum, here?
I want to ask you, which duo are you going to take from a division perspective? Are you going to take from the East, the Yankees and the Orioles? Are you going to take from the AL West, the Mariners and the Rangers, or from the NL East, are you taking the Braves and the Phillies? I think I'm on Braves, Phillies.
I think I'm on Yankees, Orioles, actually.
Okay.
I really like the Orioles. See, I think the Orioles are the best team in baseball right now, honestly.
Okay. See, I still think Atlanta, but I think Philly is really good. I just, they're littered with talent, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not some of the big names like the Braves, but they've got a top 5 starting pitcher. I don't know how he's been to start the year, but Zach Wheeler's just a workhorse. Yeah. Then, you know, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner on the hitting side. I like them. And then the rest of the division is just super irrelevant. Is that fair to say?
I would have to agree. Mets can make some noise. Yeah, I think Washington, you know, they're in the middle of a rebuild. They like I said, they're going to be a frisky team. They keep games close. Their pitching staff is really not that bad. Kyle Finnegan's a good closer, actually. He's developed into one. But yeah, the Braves should take care of that division. The Central, Milwaukee Brewers, 16-8. The Chicago Cubs, another big surprise team, I would say. They're 16-9. Just swept the Astros, as we were mentioning. Cincinnati Reds, 14-11. They're a really up and down team from what I've seen so far. Pittsburgh Pirates, 13-13. Hot start, really cooled off. And then the Cardinals, again, mediocre, 11-14 in the basement here. I think the Central is a good division. I think there's a lot of exciting young talent in this division. Milwaukee's very formidable again. You know, the Cubs have put it together. They're scoring a lot of runs. Their pitching staff's solid. showed as a good pitcher. And then Cincinnati. I think
this is the most open division in baseball.
Personally. I agree completely. I mean, I think Cincinnati is a legitimate problem. Their pitching staff, it makes some moves at the deadline. That offense, though, is legit. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to have the juice. Just they've got too much holes in their lineup. Pitching staff's not bad. Jared Jones has to be an overwhelming rookie of the year favorite at this point. Hopefully that continues. They manage his arm well and he stays healthy. Jared Jones has been fucking awesome. Ellie De La Cruz has been awesome. We'll get to him later. St. Louis though, fuck, they need to just burn it. They just need to burn it to the ground. I think they're too far off the wild card. They're aging and they just need to burn it down. Going to full on rebuild.
They've got like one bright spot on that team. That's about it.
I mean, Goldie's been pretty bad. If that's the bright spot you're referring to, like he hasn't even been going.
No, I was saying Sonny Gray. I mean, 1.0 ERA, 0.87 WHIP.
Yeah.
Been really good.
I mean, they've got to figure it out. This is open. I kind of like the Reds to win this division. They're kind of a sleeper pick for me.
I'm going to go with the Cubbies.
Wow. None of us picked the Brewers. I mean,
Brewers we'll do nothing. Lineup.
I'm hoping Jackson Churio gets it going. He's cooled himself off quite a lot here, so hopefully he gets it going. And hopefully they're patient with him. He's going to be a star, I think. The West, the Dodgers, most would probably say underwhelming, 16-11 right now, with all the star power in their team. They did just sweep the Nationals. Nationals got them, I think, 2-4, 2-3 a week ago. Padres are 14-14. Post-Soto, they look still pretty solid. Arizona's 12-14. Scoring a fuck ton of runs. I believe they lead baseball in runs scored. The San Francisco Giants, where the Diamondbacks are exciting, the Giants are boring as can be. They're 12-14, but their Logan Webb has been fantastic for them. Workhorse, another way to put it. And then the Colorado Rockies are 7-19. They're bad once again, but they did come back from a 9-4 deficit today against the Padres, won the game 10-9. So good for them. Nice win. They have allowed 156 runs. That is the most in baseball by quite a large margin. As is such, they play at Coors Field, but they've only scored 100. Anyway, any thoughts on the West? This is about what I expect it to look like right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Dodgers will pull away, but I think the Padres are going to be right there in the wild card hunt.
This division out of all of them in baseball just does not do it for me ever. It's like my least favorite division every year. Year in, year out, I know the least about it. I care the least about it. I hate the Dodgers, and that's all I got to say. NL MVP to date, Chad. Mine, come on now. It's Ellie De La Cruz. Guy has been fucking electric. Just he's got 2-3 steal games. He's clobbering the ball. He's hitting the shit out of it. His strikeout rate, I think, is coming down a little. I think he's going to be able to get to a point where it comes down and it's more manageable. He's hitting .313 with 23 runs, 7 homers, 15 steals, and 18 RBIs on the year. He has been terrific. No other way to put it. OPS is 1,063. My Cy Young in the National League this year. Gonna give it to Jared Jones. Gonna give it to two JTII players here. Not enough bias in my picks, but I mean they've all been excellent. Like they've all been excellent, so it's tough to dispute it. But Jared Jones, I believe it's a 39-4 K to walk ratio in 29 innings, 2.79 ERA and 0.83 WHIP, and he has been just fucking electric. Who do you got?
Can't go wrong with either of those. I mean, they've both been as good as it gets. I'll give you a couple other names, though. I'll go MVP Mookie Betts. He's hitting like .350.
Can't argue that one either.
Yeah, .350, 26 runs, six homers, 21 RBIs, 5 stolen bases. He's like Ellie, he's spectacular, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'll go with a Ranger Suarez. 4-0 on the year, 1.36 ERA, 0.7 WHIP. He's been spectacular. I don't know if the player himself is spectacular, but he has been spectacular.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think that's very apt. There have been too many good players for us to have the same answers for these. Yeah. So glad we highlight a few different guys.
And it's hard this early in the year.
Yeah.
Like towards the end of the year. I mean,
it's that really was just trying to highlight some good performers early on. And a shout out to Andrew McCutchen. He did. I mentioned earlier in the trivia, but he notched that, that 300th home run, in the last week. So that's the fucking boy right there. And we're off of baseball now, onto the playoffs. The NFL draft is starting. We're going to give you guys some commentary as the picks officially happen. Eminem's on my screen right now. I mean, this thing is a whole fucking thing these days. Like, it used to just be – Paul Tagliabue would get up there. It'd be every 3.5 minutes. He'd be reading a new pick. Goodell has turned this thing into – it's a four-hour marketing extravaganza. It's crazy. It's fucking unbelievable. It's in Detroit.
What are you putting the odds at of you staying up for the Dolphins pick?
Eminem's on the fucking stage. I mean, Eminem is on the stage right now. Just showmanship out here by the NFL. I would say I'm going to stay up for the Dolphins pick. We didn't have one last year in the first round, so it'll be good to get one again. Get some excitement about it. Go ahead.
Is Eminem about to perform? I can't tell.
You might drop an album out there. Who knows?
I like that.
Quick NHL playoff roundup right now. We won't spend a whole lot of time here. The Vegas Golden Knights lead the Dallas Stars. This is the start of the Western Conference. Vegas leads Dallas 2-0. Vegas is they look dominant. They're the four seed. They've looked great. Jets Avalanche tied 1-1. That series has been electric so far. A lot of goals, a lot of fun. The Canucks Predators also tied 1-1, and the Oilers Kings also tied 1-1. So the West totally up for grabs still. The East. Bruins lead the Maple Leafs 2-1, won last night in Game 3. The Lightning and the Panthers are currently 2-0 Florida, and Florida's winning Game 3 1-0 after the first period as we speak, so we'll see if they make quick work of them. And then the Canes are also up tonight 2-0 on the Islanders. They're up 2-0 on the series, and they're on the road. If they win that one, they'll be up 3-0. That would be devastating for the Islanders. And the Rangers up 2-0 on the Capitals. The Rangers look like the best team in hockey right now. I don't know if anyone looks better than the Rangers. I know the Caps aren't great, one of the weaker teams in the playoffs, but Rangers look like the team to beat. So do the Canes. So do the Canes, though. Got to give the Canes their flowers. The fact the Rangers and Canes probably will be the matchup in the next series and not the Eastern Conference Finals is kind of tough.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like you could pick out of a hat at this point. You know, especially in the Eastern Conference, like in Boston, still great. You know, it's like there's Florida. Like Florida might be my pick in the East still. Just
everywhere you look,
it's goalie like Bobrovsky.
Everywhere you look, it's just fucking loaded, man. The West definitely feels. I mean, the West feels weaker. We'll see what shakes out when the Stanley Cup Finals actually happen, but. I do have a couple futures. I have the Jets to win the series against the Avs. I did take the Hurricanes to win the Cup. Just Carolina fever out here. It's contagious. It's contagious. That's it for NHL. You got anything else to add there?
I think my Cup pick at this point would be Florida and Vegas. Something about that Vegas team.
Vegas is good. I'll go Canes over. I won't pick the same as you. I'm gonna go Canes over Jets. That will be an NHL nightmare. They'll get no viewers. It would be really poorly viewed.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare.
Just pick the two teams I have futures on. I have no idea. Much more. When I say my brain is just full of baseball right now, honestly, a little more NBA probably than NHL. Sorry about the Kings. We'll pour one out for the Sacramento Kings. Valiant effort, much worse season than last year. Why? What happened?
The West is much better than it was last year, and the Malik Monk-Herder injuries killed them, no doubt.
Yeah.
So I think solid, concise, to the point, is what it is. Come back stronger next year. Why don't you lead us through where these matchups are at, John?
Yeah. So in the East, we have the Miami Heat. They took game two last night over Boston on the road. So that's a 1-1 series. The Pacers also took a game on the road against the Bucks. That is additionally a 1-1 series in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs and Magic, they're playing tonight. The Cavs are up 2-0, but the Magic are up 16 at the half. I do have the Magic money line. Hopefully they end up pulling that off. And then last matchup in the East, the Knicks and the Sixers. New York's up 2-0. They're on the road tonight. That game's tied in the first quarter. No telling what might happen there. And then out West, we have the Thunder leading 2-0 over the Pelicans. They blew them out last night in game two. The Timberwolves are up 2-0 on the Suns. They're just taking care of business. I mean, I am, as a casual, I thought the Suns would be a little bit better, but they are not. They've been handled. They have not played at home yet, though, so we'll see what happens when the series flips. Mavericks and Clippers series is tied at 1. Clippers blew them the fuck out in game one. Mavericks edge them out on the road in game two. Have a future on the Mavericks to win the NBA Finals. That would be cool. And then last matchup in the West, the Nuggets and Lakers. Denver leads that one 2-0. Series moves to Los Angeles tonight. See what happens there. LeBron, still a very good player, but the Nuggets are just a much better team. Much better team from what I've seen.
And I think the Western Conference is just a much better conference than the Eastern Conference. I mean, Boston, I feel like they're in this spot every year for the last.
They are literally in this spot every single year.
Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The Bucks just, I know Giannis, has been hurt, but Giannis and Dame haven't synced like I thought they would. I thought this team would be a juggernaut with both of them, and they just haven't been the case. And if those two teams aren't as good, as we thought they were, says all you need to know about the East, because I don't think the Nets are or the Knicks are serious, and I don't think the Cavs are serious.
Who does that leave in the East? See, I'm sitting here saying to myself, I think the Knicks are primed for a run to the NBA Finals. I think the Knicks are going to get there.
I think I would take the Cavs over the Knicks.
I tell you what, it would be so good for the sport if the Knicks got there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yep. Steven, I mean, we got to have it. This could be the year for it. The East is so bad. Yep. And if the Knicks win tonight on the road against the Sixers, I'm like pretty in on that idea that they're going to make the finals. Continue on to the West. Your thoughts?
I want to start with, Denver from the first game of the year through, the playoffs starting, like, Denver's the team. And I still think that's probably the case, but the Timberwolves have really impressed me. I think they can give the Nuggets a run. And if they make it to the NBA Finals, Anthony Edwards, going into next year, is going to be a bona fide top 7 player in this league.
Yeah.
I know he's already fantastic, but this playoffs could put him on a whole new level. I think, they made the right decision bringing in Rudy Gobert a couple of years ago, and I think Anthony Edwards has been great since he came into the NBA, but I think his game's at a whole new level now, and it's just, shows how important it is to give young guys time in the NBA. Outside of that, I think the Clippers-Mavs series is going to be fun. I think it's going to be a 7-game series. I think it's funny teams. It's just like comical, like seeing Luka and Kyrie out there, and like then you have Kawhi with Paul George, and all of a sudden you're sprinkling in Westbrook off the bench. It's just kind of hectic. So I like that series a lot. Unfortunately, for those LeBron James fans, I don't think he makes it out of the first round. But right now, I'm gonna go a Minnesota. I told you guys Cleveland from the East like 5 minutes ago, but I'm regretting that. Okay. Minnesota Cleveland NBA Finals, which may be about issues with viewership. If we have
my God.
Timberwolves and them, and then on the NHL side, we have Carolina and Winnipeg, we're going to have issues.
Yeah, your NBA and my NHL are just anti-revenue generating finals scenarios. But they'd be fun. I mean, I'm going to go with Knicks-Dallas. Again, total bias there. Realistically, Denver's, I don't know how Denver doesn't get back to the NBA Finals, but I have a future on Dallas, so bias, hate, would love to see them there. And I really think the Knicks' path is very clear. I think they can do it. I think that'd be great for the sport. That'd be a fun series too, by the way. Knicks-Mavs would be electric. That'd be fun as fuck. So I got no other thoughts on the NBA. The NFL draft is starting. The Bears are 4 minutes away from their pick. I mean, we know what the pick is. Why are we wasting the entire clock?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. We're 17 minutes late. Like, they should have gone on the clock right at 8 or arguably before 8, so the pick is made at 8. I mean, you and I have bedtimes.
Just an absolute marketing ploy this event is. I mean, it's going to be 9 p.m. and we're going to be on pick 4, I'm pretty sure. I don't think we're going to be deeper than that. The pick is in, the first pick in the NFL draft. Chad, while we wait probably 15 minutes for them to announce that.
Reset the clock? Oh, no. Okay.
What do you want to see out of – I mean, I love that. We love to have Molly McGrath running around in the green room here. She's a great interviewer. Who do you want the Miami Dolphins to take today, tonight? First round pick since 2022, so we don't know what it feels like. You know, we don't have to act like we've been there before.
I want the pick to be Leiatu Leitu, the edge rusher from UCLA. I don't think he will be there, but that's who I want the Dolphins to take. I think he's one of the four best players in this draft. I think he's definitely the best edge rusher. I think he is a guy that can come in year one and contribute 12 to 15 sacks. Because he has multiple pass rush moves. He holds up well against the run. He's seasoned. There's nothing not to like about him besides the injury history. You know, medically retired when he was at Washington, I believe, and was able to get a second opinion later on and, you know, come back onto the football field. So that's the issue. But I just, as a Dolphins fan, going through the Jalen Phillips experience and him medically retiring and the Dolphins still spending a first-round pick on him, I think it's worth it. I think this is a guy that most years is going to be a consensus top six pick, but the medicals turn people away.
So everyone's surprised, the pick is in. Caleb Williams, you are a Chicago Bear.
Mel, what do you think about that pick?
I mean, 20 minutes. I'm just glad we took the full clock to make sure that we made the right pick if I'm Chicago. Yeah, they knew this was going to be the outcome. I'm going to be honest. I've said it on here. I confidently think Caleb's going to be a bust. I really, really think he's going to be a bust. And I would have thought that if it was any other team as well, in addition to Chicago. We'll see if he has the mental strength. It just felt like at USC he didn't. And they were not very good. They did not win. And I don't know. I'm a little bit out on Caleb. I've been vocal about it. We'll see what he does. Wish him the best. Wish Chicago the best. They've been bad for so long. They really need something to work out. But they've had a lot of number one, you know, top three quarterback picks recently, and none of them have worked out. So we'll see if he's different.
I wish Chicago nothing but the best, but I prefer Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think they
gave him a size medium jersey to hold up there. Did you see that?
Youth extra large. Caleb Williams is definitely talented. He's not big, and I don't think the mobility is what people think it is. I don't know if his dancing around in the pocket that he did at USC is going to work in the NFL. And if that's the case with the limited size, he has a really good arm. I don't know. I'm just a guy that prefers a big man, a big, sturdy, mobile quarterback, Dolphins do not have that, but that's what I prefer.
We'll stop you there.
John, who do you want the Dolphins to take?
I just want a sturdy line. I think I want a lineman, Chad. I really think I want a lineman. I think we need to start just building the line through the draft again. Give me a Jake Long type. Give me someone who I'm gonna know is gonna be there, be around. I like defensive end. You know, I don't mind that thought. I'm okay with defensive end. Really, I just want the trenches. I think we need to focus on the trenches here. Simple as that. Later in the draft, I think we need more receivers. Like, our receiver depth was really tested last year. Tyreek Hill and Waddle had their time where they weren't in. And we need some depth there. So I think later on, but I wouldn't spend an early pick on that.
I think the issue is, I agree with you. You got to fortify the offensive lines and then go after some of these skill positions later. I don't think that's how the Dolphins are thinking. I don't think they have our mindset. I think they have not historically hit on offensive linemen in the draft. I think they have a clear need at guard. And with the scheme Mike McDaniels runs, they need a true guard, a guy that's 6'3", 6'4", low center of gravity, can move at your guard spot. And I think a lot of these later first-round caliber offensive linemen are young tackles that need time to develop, that are 6'7", that, you know, would struggle in Miami's scheme at guard early on in their career. I think Miami needs guys that, you know, can, that have played guard in college and can step in right away and, you know, might not have the highest ceiling, but have a lot higher of a floor.
Yeah.
So I could see them pounding that area in the second and third round. I don't agree with it, but I think that's their thought process. And John, I just have this weird feeling that the Dolphins are going to have Xavier Worthy in the first round. I don't like it, but I just have a feeling that's where they're going to go.
There's worse things that could happen. There's worse things that could happen. Listen, quick check on the playoffs. This is so much sports going on. It's actually a little overwhelming. Tampa Bay scored 2 goals in the first 3 minutes of the second period. They're up 2-1 on the Panthers now. And the Orlando Magic are up 72-49 here in the third quarter against the Cavaliers. Magic are fun, young, talented little team. Good team at home. I think, what was it, fifth or sixth best record at home. So, Washington here. Jaden Daniels, you think there's any chance that this pick in the next 3 minutes announced isn't Jaden Daniels? And everyone that's listening to the show, you know, well, this will have already happened. So it's probably a moot point, but
it sounds like it's Daniels. I think Drake May is who I prefer, but I
now I have a question.
I like both of these guys more than Caleb Williams. Go ahead.
Where would you put Spencer Rattler in your quarterback hierarchy for this draft?
I don't think Bo Nix is an NFL. I can't comprehend how he is a potential first round. Listen, his last 2 years at Oregon, he was fantastic. I don't want to take anything away from him, but he's not an NFL guy.
I'll tell you what. This is a case of these guys are blowing up this big name quarterback out of Oregon, and he is not going to get drafted until day three. I bet he's a day three pick. I can almost guarantee you that he's a day three pick.
I'd put Rattler, to answer your question, in the in that range with the Oregon dude there.
Bo Nix, you forgot his name already?
Yeah, forgot Bo Nix's name. I still prefer Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy. But I think, you know, Spencer Rattler's right in that QB 6-7 range. Okay.
All right. While we wait for the Commanders pick here, quick shout out to soon-to-be dad Scotty Scheffler, just going out there dominating the RBC Heritage after he dominated the Masters. And I don't know if we recorded since right before the Masters. So we're going to cover everything we can in between picks because the NFL gives us enough time to do that. So Scotty Scheffler, is he going to lose again until his kid gets born? Like, is he in the field this week?
Where are they this week? I don't even know where they are.
This is bad radio. The Commanders pick is in, so we'll come back to the PGA event this week.
I want to, with with Scotty as Roger walks up onto the stage. Shout out Nelly Korda. And like, I challenge the listeners to turn on women's golf at some point this coming weekend or the next time they have a big tournament, because Nelly Korda is fucking awesome. Has won 5 straight events, one of which being her major, her second major. She's a stud. And she has the best golf swing in the world. Her Adam Scott, it's close. If you're an amateur golfer looking to get better, watch her swing. That's how you want to swing. Simple as that. John, were you able to figure out if Scottie Scheffler is in the field this weekend?
I don't think he is. It's the Zurich Classic, TPC Louisiana. Chad, I realize today's Thursday. I never put a pick in my pool, so that's a damn shame. But no, Scottie is not in the field. Probably makes sense. Okay. I'm actually really concerned he's not going to be in the field of the Wells Fargo Championship. Very worried, because that is May 9th through 12th. He's probably going to have a kid. He's probably not going to be in the field. That's in Charlotte. I'll be there. I'll be in the field. I wish. I'll be on the field and on the other side of the ropes, you know. Jaden Daniels.
Are
do you think
Jaden Daniels fan?
I'd say, do I think he's going to do well in the NFL? I think he's not. No, I don't think so. I don't think he is. No.
Okay.
I think he could end up. No, I don't even think he's going to do better than Caleb Williams. I honestly don't. No.
I think the advantage he has, especially early on in his career when he's getting his feet wet, is the true speed and mobility. And that's what you're able to see, like what kept Justin Fields afloat early on, struggling to throw the ball, learn the offense.
I am really worried about Jaden Daniels' size, man. He's thin. And I don't think he's got much capacity to be thicker than what I don't think he's going to ever look like Cam Newton looked.
No, not quite.
And in the NFL, that worries me a little bit. So I think there's some concern there that could slow him down over the course of his career, especially early on. So we'll see. I don't think he's going. And I don't know if the Commanders are a great situation for him to walk into either. So yeah. I'm a little bit out on Jaden Daniels. I don't think either of these first two picks. I'm more intrigued by what happens later.
I mean, it could potentially get interesting here. I think, you know, New England's going to have its sights set on Drake May, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like all these quarterbacks could bust. I don't know. I really do. Like, I don't – like, J.J. McCarthy, do we feel like he can be anything in the NFL? Where do you think he gets picked tonight?
I don't think he goes in the top 10. I know he has a lot of steam for the top 10. I am biased because I hate that fucking school, but he has never been in a position where he had to carry an offense, and he has a plenty fine arm and he has some mobility. I don't think he's ever been put in a position to prove he's a first round caliber quarterback. So it's hard for me to justify using a pick on that. And it very well could work out. I don't know how you can use a first round pick on a guy so unproven.
Yeah. It's a precarious, I wouldn't want a quarterback in this draft cycle. I don't think I don't know. I want Marvin Harrison. You know, where do you think Marv goes now? Like, what do you think the best situation for Marvin Harrison would be? And we're going to see he's going to get picked in the next probably 30 minutes. So
I think 4 or 5 are both good landing spots. I think Arizona is going to be the pick. I haven't seen anything to indicate otherwise. He immediately comes in and slides into being, you know, Kyler Murray's number one target. And I know that team isn't particularly good, but you have an established quarterback there who can move the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm very comfortable with that landing spot. And then same with the Chargers. I know they might be more run oriented with Harbaugh there now, but they still have Justin Herbert at quarterback. and they don't have Keenan Allen, and they don't have Mike Williams. So again, another spot where he comes in and is immediately their number one option. So I, quite frankly, I think he got lucky with how the draft fell this year.
Yeah. Drake May kind of sounds like Eli Manning. Did you notice that?
Eli had two Super Bowls, though. I mean.
Well, no, like his voice and like the way he talks. Like it just sounds like Eli Manning. Was there any other major? This is one of the smallest purses in any PGA Tour event this year. This is our classic. It's less than $9 million. So, yeah. I don't really mind missing that pick. Let's watch this Patriots pick, Chad, and I think we can wrap it up. Do you have a last call?
Yeah. My last call is, I mean, for me, this is baseball season. I know a lot of you may not feel that way, but enjoy, you know, these first couple rounds of NBA, NHL playoffs. And then listen, John, before too long, we're going to have Kentucky Derby.
My last call, literally, Kentucky Derby, confirming the date. Kentucky Derby's coming up. It's May 4th. That is not this weekend, but it's next weekend. Very exciting stuff. I'll be at a wedding, actually. I'll be taking some bets under the table for the Derby. We'll find a way. Shout out Mike Peelan, friend of the program. Great guy, great golfer. Going to be a great husband. You know, he's getting married out there. And then the next golf major, Chad, I believe is the PGA Championship, correct?
Okay. Yeah, and that's in that is in Kentucky. I'm drawing a blank on the name.
Yeah, Valhalla, May 16th to 19th, so a little less than a month. So you're gonna get these one-off great sporting events coming up. You know, it's always a great time of year. The sports calendar is miraculous. Just when you think it's not, it is.
Yeah.
You know, everyone enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the nice weather. I think a lot of places are gonna have it. Be safe out there. Enjoy the NFL draft. Best of luck to your teams. Good luck to the Dolphins tonight, yeah. Chad. Hopefully we're texting happy thoughts to each other about what we did and
have
a little optimism.
If we're still awake for it.
This is exactly. You know, we might not be. It's pick four. It's 8:34. You never know when this thing might end. But good luck to everyone out there. Go Pirates.
Yep.
Go Dolphins.
Go
we
Dolphins.
Love you.
Run the ball.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. Production by AJ Bradbury.